Luke 18. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, Give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect and cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves. They were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Excuse me. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, and was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And they were bringing even their babies to him, so that they might touch them. When the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. And Jesus said to them, Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all. A certain ruler questioned him, saying, Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, All these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they who heard it said, Then who can be saved? But he said, The things impossible with men are possible with God. And Peter said, Behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. And he said to them, Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life. And he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. And he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they had scourged him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, as his saying was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. And it came out that he was approaching Jericho. A certain blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a multitude going by, he began to inquire what this might be. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. And he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stooped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he had come near, he questioned him. What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. When all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Amen. And so this passage obviously is a passage on prayer. And so let's try to, you know, to find some nuggets of what God wants to teach us through this. So he starts off, you know, and he starts giving parables on prayer. And the simple point is he says that he wanted to teach them, right, to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart. And so the first parable that he teaches us here is about persistence. Here's this widow. She needs protection. So she goes to the judge, and the judge is an unrighteous judge, right? And so, you know, Jesus is giving us a compare and contrast between this unrighteous judge, or it could be other passages, the unrighteous steward, you know, and God, who's the righteous judge, you know. And he says to her, right, in verse 5, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And so this issue of persistence, right? Persistence is not manipulation, right? Persistence actually is a prayer of faith, because that's what he says. He says, will he find faith on the earth? Now, there's been some teaching in the church, you know, and I've heard it a few times myself, you know, that says that If you really have faith, you just need to pray one time. Right? Just one time. I mean, if you really had faith, you just need to pray once and boom, and that's it. Done deal, right? You know, and I would say, I don't know. I could understand in the sense that, yeah, you know, I mean, there have been times, you know, like, you know, I know one particular time I was dating Lisa at the time, and, you know, I felt like, okay, we should get married, you know, and I was going to ask her and everything, but I didn't have any money for a ring, right? And so I prayed to God, I said, God, you need to give me some money for a ring, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then in one of my prayer times, I just felt God, he said it so clear. He said, Sam, done deal. That was it. And that was a message to me saying, okay, you don't have to bother me about that anymore. Let's talk about something else, you know, kind of thing. Right? And then there will be times where God says, okay, it's done. You know, and we move on that way, right? And so if that's what a lot of these teachers are meaning, I can understand that. But I get a sense that's not what they're saying. They're saying that you need to have so much faith. And then if you have this faith, you just say it one time. That's all you need to do because that's faith, right? But Jesus begins to show us here that actually faith was manifested in this woman crying out to him day and night, or crying out to this judge day and night. That's faith as well. You know, and so, you know, I think there needs to be a good balance, you know, for us. There'll be sometimes God says, okay, it's done, you know, and then you move on. There are other times that we need to continually be persistent in prayer. And see, the key is the act of being persistent is actually faith. You know, it's us moving in faith, just believing God for something, right? You know, and the key with persistent prayer, or why, you know, if you look at all the other attributes of prayer, Jesus actually focuses on this one characteristic more than all the other ones, right, of being persistent. You know why? Because when you're persistent, number one, you're praying, okay? I mean, don't ever lose that. That's a really, really important point, that you are praying. When you're persistently praying, you're praying. And that's the key. Prayer, friends, is a spiritual transaction. When we pray, you know, not only do we make a request known to God and God speaks to us, right? But there's a spiritual transaction that takes place that when we're praying, you know, what happens a lot is we become like God. We become like Jesus in many ways. You know, and so through the prayers, God changes us, right? How many of you guys, you know, that you were praying about one thing and you're praying and praying and praying, and as you continue to pray, you find your prayers changing? Right? Because that happens to me all the time. You know why? Because I'm changing. You know, it's a spiritual transaction that takes place. You know, and so when we're persistent, we're praying, but a part of that praying that happens, right, God does something in our lives. We find that our prayers totally change. We might find that we start seeking God for something that's totally different, or maybe even the opposite of what we started praying for. You know, because God changes us in that prayer. And so he gets to that. Now let's go to the next guy. Here's the Pharisee and the tax gatherer. They come before the Lord. You know, they go to the temple to pray. And one of them, right, he says to himself, I mean, it's an arrogant guy. He says to himself, man, it's a good thing I'm not like this guy over here. You know, it's a good thing, you know, look at me, God. You know, I do so many good things for you. I fast twice a week. I tithe everything that I get. You know, I mean, he's full of self-righteousness. You know, and the other guy, the publican, the tax gatherer, he beats his breast. He's not even willing to look up to the heavens, and he's saying, so God, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And what did Jesus say? This guy went home justified rather than the other guy. You know, and then he gives us this beautiful picture, right? The inverse relationship of the kingdom of God. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Right? And so what's the second lesson that Jesus is giving us about prayer? Right, it's the folly of self-righteousness is really what we're talking about, pride and humility. You know, and so when you pray, you know, not only should you be persistent, but you should be humble when you go before the Lord. See, the manipulation that can happen sometimes in persistence is we feel like we deserve something from God. Now, do you guys ever feel like that? You're praying and saying, well, God, I showed up for morning prayer today. I should receive something from you. You know, or, you know, I've been doing this, that, and that, and so I should get something. You know, that's self-righteousness. That's earning, right, the answered prayer because of what you do in your life. You know, but the tax gatherer, man, he just, Lord, have mercy on me. Just humility. Recognizing that prayer, right, you know, is a prayer offered in faith. I suggest to you that this passage is also about faith. You know, in the simple fact that this tax collector, he really moved in faith. In the sense that he says, Lord, I don't deserve anything, but God have mercy on me. You know, the other guy, he's basically, you know, telling him all the wonderful things that, you know, that he's done. And so, you know, basically, God, this is why you should answer my prayer. Because I did this, 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 that, and this. You know, self-righteousness. I mean, you know, if you think, does he really need to pray? Nah. Guy's got to figure it out all by himself. You know, he's just fulfilling a religious activity. You know what I mean? He doesn't need God. He's got it all figured out himself. You know, but the tax collector, man, he really needs God. You know, I mean, so persistence, humility. And then there's a little part in there, and he talks about these kids that come to him, right? It's not out of left field. Actually, there's a point that Luke is trying to make. You know, and he says to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for as the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Right? I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child should not enter it at all. And so, I mean, you know, we are around kids. It was refreshing, you know, at camp, right? The retreat. We had so many kids running around. It was so fun. Right? And we look at kids and, oh, they're so cute. You know, they're so this, they're so that. Well, most of you guys that are, you know, that are not parents yet, you know, you can just simply have that image of them. I want to tell you, as a parent, right, my kids are evil. You know, and I don't mean to say that in a, like, to say that they're bad kids or anything like that. Actually, my kids are quite good, you know. And in fact, we just got the report cards, you know, and all the teachers, you know, Emma and Elise, just raving reviews about their cooperation and, you know, and how they, you know, interact in class. And so they're relatively good kids. But you know what? The simple fact is, as a parent, I've had to teach them to be good. You know what I mean? Like, I had to teach them to share. I mean, I'm still teaching them. That's a huge, I think I'm going to teach them for the rest of their life, right? You know, because they have an evil nature. And you know, and one of the first things that I know my kids recognize was, this is mine. You know, this is not yours. This is mine, right? And, you know, and this kind of selfishness, that's how they're raised. I mean, that's who they are. You know, and we literally have to teach them not to do that. We have to teach them to tell the truth. Did you know that that's not inherent in us as human beings, to tell the truth? We instinctively want to lie. You know, and there was actually a really funny story about one of the kids at the retreat that lied. He got in big trouble, by the way. You know, but just, you know, I mean, it's just so natural, for, you know, in those things to happen, right? And so in that way, the kids, in other words, of saying that kids, little kids, they're not innocent. They're not. But you know what they are? They're dependent. You know, I mean, they're always dependent. You know, they're dependent on everything, right? I mean, you know, Hannah, man, if Lisa wasn't around, Hannah would be dead. That's a simple reality, you know? I mean, you know, if no parent, I mean, children, they would be dead, right? And so there's this issue of dependence, which Luke will even clarify even more in the next passage. So he gets to the rich young ruler. The ruler comes in, right, as a wealthy young guy. He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, right? And so notice the first thing here, the question is wrong from the beginning. Did you know that if you, you know, you'll always get a wrong answer if you ask the wrong question? You know that, right? This guy asked the wrong question. And you could tell kind of where he's at in the question. You know, and he says, well, you know what you should do. Do not commit adultery. And he goes, all these things I've kept from my youth up. Jesus heard this and he said, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And obviously he says he heard these things, he was really sad because he was a very wealthy guy, you know, and then Jesus goes on another teaching. See, the issue here, right, is again, is about dependence. The rich young ruler, he did all these things, right, you know, and this is an outward thing, but in his heart, he was not dependent on the Lord. He was actually dependent on himself. This is really the folly of wealth in many ways, right? Wealth, you know, you've heard me say this a few times, wealth has God-like attributes, you know, in the sense that we know the attributes of God. He is omnipotent, he's omniscient, right, and he's omnipresent, right? In other words, he's everywhere, he's all-powerful, and he's all-knowing. You know, the wealthy, the rich, also have that air about themselves, of those three attributes, A wealthy guy says, I can be any place at any time. It's not an obstacle for me. Wealthy people say, you know, I'm not saying all of them, right? But it's a mentality. Wealthy people say, I can get away with anything. You know, I can do whatever I want to do. I just hire the best lawyers and you know, I can escape it, right? I mean, you know, the American judicial system is just corrupt in the sense that it's really how much money you have. You know, that this is the best defense that you can buy, basically. Right? And so there's a sense that I can do anything. And then all the sense of I can buy any information out there. You know, I can know whatever I want to know. You know, and there, you know, I can get the finest education or, you know, whatever it may be. And there's a sense of this godlike attribute, you know, and the result, I mean, there's nothing necessarily such wrong in that, but the result is that they just depend on themselves, or they depend on their abilities, or they depend on their wealth to get them out of any situation or whatnot, you know. And he's telling, you know, and this is what happened with this guy, and he says, yeah, you did all these other things, you know, but that was all your own effort. Right, I mean, the rich young ruler, I suggest to you, he was more arrogant than the Pharisee in the passage we read just before. Because everything he did was out of his own effort. Right, and so, you know, my personal belief is I believe that he came to the Lord, you know, seeking a pat on the back. You know, say, I did all these things, you know, like he came up with all these merit badges. You know, and then the Lord really stuck to the main central issue, the main point of what he really lacked. You know, and it was this issue of dependence. You know, and this is also a passage on prayer. And so when we pray, it can't be out of our own self-righteousness, or our own accolades, or our own merit. You know, God, you know, I fasted for 40 days, so I deserve this. You know, or I did this, Lord, so I should get this. That's self-righteousness. Right, that's merit based on what you've done, and we recognize here this guy did everything right, but yet he doesn't get anything, you know. And so there's something more to that, and it's this issue when we go talk about prayer, when we come to the Lord in prayer, right? The issue is being dependent. The issue is I'm not trusting in myself. It's not about what I've done or what I can do, right? Prayer, in a lot of ways, right, is a manifestation of grace. It's something I don't deserve. You know, and it's the humility to come before the Lord in that way, you know, and having this kind of understanding, right? Now, Jesus goes on and says, it doesn't mean that rich people don't get to go to heaven, right? It's you know, things impossible with men are possible with God. And so the issue is not necessarily talking about wealth, okay? I don't want you to miss the point, right? The issue is talking about dependence. And in a lot of ways, wealth will have that facade in people's lives, you know, of they depend on that instead of on the Lord. And so he continues to go on, you know, and then so he bookends, so he ends it, right, talking about another passage on persistence. And so we have Bartimaeus, you know, and so he's down on the road, a blind man approaches him, you know, he cries out, he hears about Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, those that led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. He kept crying all the more, right? Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops, right? He commands that he be brought to him, and he says to him, a simple question, right? I come to your question, and what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And you said, you receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. I want to suggest to you, what was the faith? Was it the faith when he said, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. Or was the faith manifested when he was crying out? Right, obviously when he's crying out, right, again, right, it's this against all odds, you know, just this persistence in prayer, and Jesus says, your faith has saved you, right, you know, because honestly, when you believe God has given you something, and then you pray, and it's not coming, you know, the easy thing for us to do is just to give up, right, just say, ah, okay, oh well. You know, maybe we're apathetic and we just give up, you know. The faithful thing to do is you just keep pressing in, right? Not manipulating, not out of a self-righteousness like, God, okay, let me twist your arm. I'll do this if you do that. You know, it's not in that way, right? You know, when I was working at a Korean church years and years and years ago, you know, I would go to morning prayer and, man, it just dawned on me how self-righteous some of the prayers were. you know, or manipulative, you know. And I mean, I would hear, you know, these women, and they seem like they're really crying out to the Lord, you know, but it's like, Lord, if my son gets into this school, you know, I'm going to do this and this and this, right? And, you know, and I was a young youth pastor. I was like, man, that's a lame prayer. You know what I mean? That's like a forcing your agenda, you know, on God in some ways. That's not the prayer of persistence, right? And so, you know, I don't want you to get confused or misunderstand, right? The prayer of persistence is not being self-righteous, right? You know, like the Pharisee. You know, it's being humble, it's being dependent, and in that, you just keep going. You know, you just keep going after it. That knowing that eventually, you know, there's a transaction taking place, and you persevere, and God moves. And interesting enough, he says, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. All right, this is God's will, God's intent to bring about justice in a hurry. For some of us, it may seem like, wow, this is taking a long time, God. You know, I don't know how you define speedily, but that's not the way that I'm looking at it right now. You know, but that's where the faith runs in. We just trust God and his timing, and we continue to persist. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. I want to encourage us to take a look at our prayer life before the Lord. I mean, honestly, can our prayer life be characterized by manipulation or self-righteousness? I mean, just even a little hint of it. God, I came to morning prayer today. You better answer this prayer. God, I did this. You know, or even sometimes in the giving, right? God, I gave this huge amount. I better see some return. You know, and all these three different passages, you know, or four different passages on prayer really deal with, more than anything else, the issues of the heart. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us as Jisun leads us in a song, and just have him just come and stir something deep within us. Huh?
Thank you.
Let's go before the Lord and let's just ask the Lord about our prayer lives and about our heart when we do pray. Let's pray for a clean heart. Let's pray for an attitude of dependence and humility and persistence. You know, let's pray like Jesus, you know, or like the disciples prayed to Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray. A simple, simple prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, and as we start off our time of prayer this morning, let's ask the Lord to teach us right now. Let's go to our mission prayer focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for particularly the Chung family and ask God's hand to be upon them. They felt very refreshed during their time here. Let's pray for its parents. Let's pray for our kids in Chichihar and the government. Pray for the churches there. Pray for our Beijing church plan as well. Let's ask God's hand to be upon us as we launch. Pray for our staff and for our elder board and our missions committee. Let's pray for the leaders of the church that God would just really continue to use us and that we'd be marked with wisdom and humility. And in all the different aspects we talk about, prayer would also be evident in our own lives, right? A persistence in going after God, a wisdom, you know, and a humility and dependence on the Lord. And so let's lift each of these leaders up to God. Let's pray for our Indonesian ministry. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat. And he's actually traveling today. He's on his way back home in Indonesia for a family celebration. Let's also pray for the Korean church, Pastor Choi, a new senior pastor that's come. Let's ask God's hand upon him and the church would just continue to arise and grow in the Lord. And so lift these ministries and these people up to God. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's pray for a meeting. We have a meeting this morning with our architects, and they're going to show us the designs of the place. And so let's pray for just a real fruitful time. Let's continue to pray for our fundraising, and you know, and that there'll be a real sense of excitement as we move into the new place. You know, we're praying that, you know, every person as we move actually just brings one person, you know, during that time. And so let's pray for a real move of witnessing and evangelism, and you know, just reaching out to people that really flows during that time. And so let's just pray for a move. If you could pray, Pastor Sam Kim and I are actually going to retreat today for the next few days, and there's about 15 church planters from all over Asia that's coming to Noah's Ark, to Maiwan, and just to gather and collaborate and fellowship together. So if you just bless that time. This is run through Redeemer Church in New York City, and so from their church planting school. And so, you know, appreciate if you can just lift this up before the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being a faithful God, Lord, a faithful Father. And we thank you, God, that you, Lord, are always leading us, always guiding us, God, always teaching us, Lord. And God, we want to be a church of prayer, God. We want to be a church that prays, God, persistently, God, with humility and dependence upon you. And so would you teach us, God, how to pray? Would you continue to draw near, Lord, to your church, God, and have your way with us, Lord. We thank you, Father. Watch over us the rest of this day. Come and have your way, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.